بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين نستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به عز وجل أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له ملك وله حمد وهو على كل شيء قدير وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد أيها المسلمون Beginning with Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, we thank Allah and we praise Him. He is our Lord, keeper, sustainer, evolver of all the systems of knowledge. We bear witness that there's no deity, no God worthy of worship except Allah alone. He is without partners or associates and has nothing like unto Him. To Him be the dominion or the rule. To Him be all unqualified praise, and He has power over all things. We further witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah, the prayer and the peace be on him, who lived 1,434 plus years ago, we bear witness that he is Allah's slave servant and his messenger. We pray the prayers and the peace be on him, his family, his descendants, the companions, the righteous all, and we extend that peace to you, O Muslims, ayyuhal muslimun, and on you also be the peace. Ameen. Wa amma ba'd, and what follows of that salutation. Seeking refuge with Allah from Satan, the rejected enemy, and with Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Turning first to the 33rd surah in the Quran, the 21st ayah, Surah Al-Ahzab. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Laqad kana lakum fi rasulillahi uswatun hasanat. لمن كان يرجو الله واليوم الآخرة وذكر الله كثيرا. We say صدق الله العظيم, and Allah the Mightiest speaks the truth. Dear family, we welcome you all to this blessed day, the day of gathering we call Salatul Juma, the day of assembly, the day of gathering. For us, of course, the best day of the week. We take nothing for granted. We do not take our religion for granted. We don't take our lives for granted. We thank Allah for your presence. We thank Allah for our ability to be here. And we thank Allah for so many blessings, too numerous to number. So we won't even try. We just say, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. All the thanks, all the praise is for Allah, our Lord, keeper, sustainer, evolver of all the worlds. Brothers and sisters, God willing, inshallah, today we are going to continue and at least for now conclude the topic that we began last week. The topic we called Muhammad, the Perfect Model for Humanity, Approved by Allah. Muhammad, the Perfect Model for Humanity, Approved by Allah. And just by way of review, just a quick review in the first part of the khutbah, for those of us that weren't here last week, and praise be to Allah, we have the lecture in its entirety. I think it's worth listening to. And those of us that heard it, I think, as we say, leftovers can be better than the first time around. Praise be to Allah. So even if you've heard it, I encourage you to listen again. I said at the beginning last week that the message will be controversial. And I will let you know when we actually get to the controversial part. But I mean controversial in the sense that we will be offering some commentary, primarily from our Imam, Waridhuddin Muhammad, radiallahu an. And we will be looking at some of the concepts and ideas in a new way, in a way that I don't know if I want to say new, but in a way that perhaps some people never looked at it before. See, brothers and sisters, our blessing and our advantage is that Imam Muhammad, radiallahu an, taught us to make connections in religion. Too many people are departmentalized. Too many people want to rejoice in their own arenas and own circles. But Almighty God, Allah says in the Quran that the Quran is not only a new book, so to speak. Even though it really doesn't say that, but people might want to say it's a new book or it's a different book, but Allah says of the Quran that it is a confirmation of what went before it. Allah says another place in the Quran that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, prayers and the peace be on him, does not come with any new message. That's what I want us to begin there. We pointed this out last week. Again, quick review, but I want us to begin there so we understand that we are not operating in some narrow sphere or narrow idea or concept. These are universal, if I could use the term, cosmic concepts and ideas that broaden our perspective and our horizon. We pointed out, using chapter 3 and verse 7, this verse talks about the Quran being a book mainly of clear teachings, but also of allegorical teachings. And what we wanted to emphasize and point out here is, firstly, that it's not that Allah does not want us to have higher knowledge, higher insight, and higher understanding. It's that Allah condemns the mentality or the type of people that prefers that over the clear teachings with the intent of developing discord, confusion in the community. But I also use this verse to point out that this verse stating clearly and emphatically that the Quran not only has clear teachings, it has an allegorical aspect that gives you a type of license to read the signs or look at the signs in the message. In other words, everything is not literal. There's a sign or a higher message. What else did we point out here? That Almighty God, though he is the only one that knows the hidden meanings of these allegorical verses, if he chooses, he can bless a man or a woman, a brother or a sister, any believer, with understanding of that message. We pointed out that the Quran is the word of Allah in substance and format, that it has never been changed. We pointed out that the Quran is in the order that Allah wanted it to be in. We pointed out that we have no license and authority to make any improvements or changes in the Quran. The Quran and the religion of Al-Islam is complete and perfect. We also pointed out that the Quran is untranslatable. Though there are many translations, the Quran is untranslatable from the standpoint of every time you translate it into another language except the original language, you lose some of its meaning. And at best, and I used the example of Rab last week, the Arabic word Rab, we translate Lord. At best, you're going to need many English words to even get close to the one or the deep meanings of the Arabic. One of the other things that I pointed out is that in order for us to appreciate the Quran, we must know Muhammad the Prophet, upon him be peace, and we must know him in his true picture. And we must put the emphasis in his life, in his sunnah, in his tradition, in his way. We must put the true emphasis not on the outer, but on the inner. Now I'll translate the verse I read at the beginning of Jummah. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. You have indeed in the Messenger of Allah a beautiful pattern of conduct for any whose hope is in Allah in the last day or the final day, and who engages much in the praise of Allah. We say Sadaqallahu Adheem, and Allah the Mightiest has spoken the truth. Here the point is, we discussed the term Uswa versus Sunnah. And what we pointed out is that Sunnah in the Quran only refers to Allah, the Sunnatullah. The Sunnah, again, meaning way, path, tradition. What Allah says, you will never find a change in his way of doing things. But when Allah refers to Muhammad upon him be peace and elevates Muhammad upon him be peace, he doesn't refer to his Sunnah, not in the Quran. He refers to his Uswa. And what we discussed is that the Sunnah a lot of times are outward characteristics. the clothes he wore, how long his beard was, how he used the restroom, how he ate, which hand did he eat with. These are outer things. And I pointed out it's okay to respect the outer if you can make the inner connection, because there's a principle to cultivate the internal. And that's what got to that. That's where the point is. The uswa of the prophet is his internal disposition. The uswa of the prophet is not a male thing, or as we say, a man thing. He is a model for our sisters. He is a model for children. He's the model for humanity, because the qualities that are most important in him are abstract qualities. That doesn't mean they're not real. Qualities like compassion, qualities like justice, qualities like obedience to Allah, qualities like reverence, respect, we call it taqwa, regardfulness of our Creator. These are the things, his spirituality, his beautiful soul, these are the things that are most important. And this is what we pointed out. And in concluding this part of the khutbah, what we said is that the Prophet, upon him be peace, his life is an example for us, for all people, for all times. He's an example for us as a person. He's an example for us as a father, a husband, a statesman, or a political figure. He's an example for us as a parent and even a general in times of war. We pointed out that he is a judge, a lawgiver, and a teacher. These are the excellent qualities of Muhammad the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he is human in every regard. God didn't give us a spook. He didn't give us an angel. He didn't give us something divine as a model. He gave us a human model, which makes sense. We can pattern our lives. We can follow a human model. And we just simply said, we're not saying that we could ever be as excellent as Prophet Muhammad, upon him be peace. That's clear. Our mission is not the same. But you have to know, too, that Allah cultivated a special soul, a unique soul in the Prophet, even before he got his mission. We thank Allah for that example. We thank Allah for not only him giving us scripture, but giving us a living model to put that scripture into context. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Rabbana atina fid dunya hasanatan wa fil akhirati hasanatan wa qina adhabannar. Our Lord, we pray for excellence in this life. We pray for excellence in the next, and please save us from the torment of the fires of sin. Amen. Allahu Akbar. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Dear family, in the second part of the khutbah, we are now going to elaborate on the point that an Islamic scholar made about a way to sum up the Prophet's life, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I gave this to you last week, but I didn't elaborate on it because time would not allow me to do so. So we're going to repeat the four, and I'm saying this is a type of summation, but certainly the Prophet is not limited to this. But for us to have relevance, what does his life mean? Why was he even sent? We've never heard of animals having some kind of messenger. Insects don't have messengers. So in other words, the human being is special. The human being is unique. The human being is one that needs guidance beyond his original nature or her original nature, because we have limited free will. We have the ability to change our nature, where the flea, the bird, the alligator does not. Allah says clearly, again, if the earth was populated by angels, I would have sent an angel as a messenger. But because the earth is populated by human beings, I sent you a human being as a messenger. Again, dear family, according to the Indian scholar, he said that four major aspects of the Prophet's life can be summed up like so. One, historical. Two, his personality is comprehensive. Three, perfection in everything that he modeled. And four, life is very practical. In other words, that's the best word, practical. It has meaning and relevance in all aspects of our life. It's not just a spiritual thing. It's an intellectual thing, and in every respect, a human thing. Now, having said that, let's look at the historical. Here's where the controversy comes in. Historically, Prophet Muhammad, the prayer and the peace be on him, is documented in history. In the same manner, if you want to read about maybe Alexander the Great or George Washington or George Washington Carver or any great Napoleon, any great leader or any big figure in the past, in other words, his life is documented outside of Scripture. He doesn't need just the context of Scripture to acknowledge him as a real person. Now, this is subtle, but this is very important. I'm getting ready to say something to you again that our Imam taught us that helps us to see the reason for things and the higher understanding of things. For example, Prophet Adam, upon him be peace, and let me say it like this. He's a prophet, but let's say Father Adam and Father Abraham, upon them be peace. These are prophetic figures. We see them as men in history. I'm sorry. Yes, we see, that's not the way I wanted to say it. Yes, I do want to say, we see them as individuals, I'll say, individual men in history. But the Bible and the Quran refer to these men as communities. Though Adam is introduced in the Bible as an individual male, and it talks about from that male Eve was created, I'm not even getting into that. That I might touch on some of that. But my point I'm making here is he's introduced as a man, but later on in Genesis, Allah says in the Bible, I created them, male and female, and named them Adam. Adam is a community. Now, I can't get into all this. Call me anytime. We can sit down and have a cup of coffee, have a real nice session. But Adam is neither male nor female. That's what we need to understand firstly about Adam. And we also need to understand that Adam is a human type. And also, I'm glad some of you are sitting down, he was not the first person on earth. He was the first human being on earth. Allah says in the Quran, chapter 2, verse 30, I am making a ruler. So it might not even be done. We might still be in the process. It's not I made, I am making. It's in the present tense. But again, I don't want to digress because we can be here for 2 hours. We're not going to do that. We're going to get to the point and we're going to keep moving here, but I'm talking from the historical standpoint. The Quran, there's a translation in the Quran that it talks about Abraham, and it says that he is an excellent model. This is the Yusuf Ali translation. Abraham is an excellent model. The Arabic says that Abraham is a community. They translated model, ummah, model, but he's a community. So this is revelation. So again, the question might be asked, how can these be individuals and how can they be community? They can be individuals and communities because they are presented as an individual. They're presented and the story is built around an individual's life. But what they represent is bigger than the individual and it's not limited to the individual. They represent an aspect that every human being possesses. There's the value. You've heard me say it. You're Adam, you're Abraham, you're Joseph, you're Muhammad, the prayers and the peace be on all of them. Which brings me to my next point when we talk about history. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has quite a few books written by non-Muslims of his existence. But let me ask you the question that the Imam asked. When you think of all the other prophetic figures Where do you find their documentation outside of Scripture? Yes, I need to give you 30 minutes just on that one. Just need to let you sit there in silence for 30 minutes and contemplate on that. But I got to keep it locomotive, as the young people say. I got to keep it moving. But think about that. I'm not saying books have not been written about these men, but their source of documentation is Scripture. So what does that suggest? That suggests to me that even though, again, because I want to be clear, I don't want you charging me with saying a man said there was no Adam, there was no Abraham, there was no Jesus upon them. I'm not saying that. There were human types that represented that. But the better and the higher meaning is beyond their individuality. Let me give you another example. We got the inspiration for airplanes from the bird. It's amazing. I've even seen, I noticed that when you fly in the plane, how when you're getting ready to land, not only do the wheels go down, but the tail comes down like this to help slow the plane down so it can land. I've seen birds do that. I've seen birds, when they're getting ready to land, when the feet come down, their tail comes down just like that to slow them down. There's the inspiration for the airplane. We can look at the submarine and get inspiration from the whale, the properties, the way it comes up, goes down, etc. See, my point is, our benefit is in the submarine. Our benefit is in the airplane, but it was inspired by the bird. It was inspired by the whale. So again, my point is, I'm not saying they don't exist, but let's put the emphasis where the benefit is for human beings. Now, I might as well say this while I'm on it, on this history. Again, no other figure has been documented outside of Scripture. When we study the mirage of Prophet Muhammad, the prayer and the peace be on him. And again, some of this, the new Muslims, some of our guests may not have the background for all of this. I apologize. I can't take time in this Juma to explain all of this history. But please stay with me with the principles and the ideas that I'm laying down quickly, and then follow up with me later. In the mirage, this was a very monumental turning event in the history of Muslim life. Meaning what? The Prophet's life, the Muslim history, began in Mecca 13 years. Then the latter half of their mission, last 10 years, was in Medina. In Mecca, the first 13 years, they were unestablished. Prayer was not made as an institution. Juma was not established. None of these things, they weren't established as a community. They didn't have legislative laws. They didn't have ways of governing their society. They were guests in their own home, Mecca. Then, during this time in Mecca, right at the latter part, the Prophet, upon him be peace, was taken on a night journey where he traveled from Mecca to Jerusalem in one night. And then after he traveled, he ascended to 7 levels of heaven. On each level, he met a prophet and a messenger. And on each level, he greeted each prophet and messenger. Now watch this. Abraham and Adam he greeted as father. All the others he greeted as brother. Now, I won't leave you in suspense. Adam was on the first level. Jesus and John the Baptist were on the second level. Joseph was on the third level. Idris was on the fourth level. Aaron was on the fifth level. Moses was on the sixth, and Abraham was on the highest level. The prophet traveled to each stage, greeted them, and then the report says the ikama was made and he led them in prayer. Oh, so significant, so significant. But what I want to get you to see is that after that mirage, he went back to Mecca shortly after, migrated to Medina, and established the first Islamic state. Why didn't it happen in year 5? Why didn't it happen in year 7? Because he had not developed enough. He had not gone through the stages of development that's required for establishment. In other words, he grew from the primal or the basic or the prototype from Adam and evolved to each level of development until he got to the highest level, Abraham, and now he's ready for establishment. I know, you got to stretch for this one. This is controversial, right? You ain't heard this nowhere else. I know you haven't, all right? And I'm not talking about me. It's not about me. It's the mind that Allah raised up and the teacher that he gave us so that we demystify some of this stuff and not just be spooky and ritualistic with no knowledge of what the rituals are, what the rituals mean. I already told you, you are each of those prophets and messengers. So you have to go through those stages of development also for your establishment. Yes, now here's another thing. Adam is the first human type, but Jesus, upon him be peace, is called the second Adam. Now we have people don't even talk about that. They make Jesus something totally other than human. Jesus is the second Adam. What does that mean? He's also Adam, evolved to a higher level. So when you look at the characteristics, I'm gonna wheel it in, because I'm watching my time here. Adam is the foundation that he evolved from. He's got to be on the first level. That's why he's called father, because on one level he's our physical father, and he's the one that gave birth to our original human nature. But then you ascend and you meet Jesus, who's a little bit more spiritual. Then you ascend and you meet Joseph, and he has the ability to interpret dreams. He has an intuitive side. Then you rise higher and you meet a Moses and an Abraham, and they represent the intellect. They represent the rational capacities of the human being. Isn't that how Abraham discovered Allah? He wasn't sitting under a tree and an apple hit him in the head. He went through scientific process studying Allah's creation, and studying Allah's creation led him to the oneness of Allah. All right. I apologize to some of y'all. I'm overcooking your grits. Let's keep moving. Because, I mean, some of y'all, that I see a look, it's like deer in headlights. You say, what the heck is Shakir talking about? That's all right. Maybe this ain't for everybody. That's okay. So let me see if I can give those something as well. So winding up this idea of the historical process, the historical piece, that he's not imaginary. Prophet Muhammad is not imaginary. He's not a myth. He's an actual flesh and blood human being. So again, that development, those stages that I'm sharing with you, see those prophets and messengers in their story. See them as actual beings, but benefit from the meaning or the higher meaning or the insights of their characteristics, if that makes sense. Yes, if that makes sense. Prophet Muhammad's personality is comprehensive. $2 word, all-inclusive. I caution us as Muslims to be extreme in any aspect. You got some Muslims work out physically every day and read the Quran only in Ramadan. You got Muslims that read the Quran every day and only work out, you know, when they turn the channels on the remote. You got Muslims that want to levitate and float, but they're not interested in challenging their intellectual capacity. My point is, some of us are good spiritual Muslims, but we're horrible family people. Children don't know you. They see you every day, still don't know you. Because, you know, you levitating somewhere. You don't want to get down in the human element. No. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was human. And I already told you he modeled all of that. So his life was comprehensive. And brothers and sisters, we can't do it like he did it. But in other words, we have to grow. There's room for improvement. Don't be satisfied when you fall short in these areas. Strive to do better. You may never get there, but don't be satisfied in your soul. Because as you're striving to improve in the areas that you're weak, you're getting sharper and you're getting better. And you may not see it, but someone that hasn't seen you in a while, they'll say, wow, Abdul really has grown. Praise be to Allah. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam already said he was perfect in everything that he modeled. And some people think that's a contradiction because he's human and humans can't be perfect. But let me just say this, family. His perfection was in his intention to do the right thing. And also know that though the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam erred in judgment on occasion, and Allah put those errors in the Quran, he was infallible in his prophethood. As a prophet and a messenger, no mistakes. Allah not going to allow him to make no mistakes in that arena. But Allah allowed us to see certain shortcomings so we can still connect with him and know that if the prophet could forget, if the prophet could make a mistake, maybe I shouldn't be so hard on myself. And lastly, life. His life was very practical, something we could approach or attain to a lesser degree versus the example that we see in the world, perhaps, of Jesus, upon him be peace, that he is part human and part divine. Now, I don't know if I said this last week, but I'll just leave this go. I can kind of go on this topic for a while, but I'm going to put my notes away. Maybe last week I shared with you, and look how beautiful, look how just Allah is. If Allah charged us with certain responsibilities and did not give us a human example to follow, on the day of judgment, we would have a grievance against Allah. And he ain't gonna let that happen. Allah is too fair. He's too just. He's perfect. He's not, you know, he knows what he's doing, does what he means what he says, does what he intends without let, all of those things. So my point is, this should help us think about certain other allegations that have been made in the world. If you hold up an example for me that's human and divine, and I'm only human, that's not fair. And I also don't appreciate you telling me all negative things about my nature. Oh, the human is selfish by nature. The human is corrupt by nature. The human is this and that. What do you think that does to me when all I can be is human? Believe me, some people do things that the world says is terrible, and some of them are. But the point I'm making is they don't think that they're worthy of anything. They think that they're a mess up by nature. Everything they touch goes down the drain. That's what they believe of themselves because they have not been given a higher expectation. And people rise to the expectation. People grow into what people hold them accountable for, or hold them to aspire to. Yes, praise be to Allah. So if you all will allow me, let me just take one look at these notes because I don't want to take this another week. I want to move on to something else. The Prophet, upon him be peace, had excellent character. He was polite. He was respectful. He was sincere. He was decent. He never worshipped idols. He was fair and just even before his prophethood. Prophet Muhammad, upon him be peace, taught us that those of you that were excellent before El-Islam, those of you that were decent before El-Islam, will be decent and will be excellent in El-Islam. Now, I will go ahead and end on this point. How many of you are familiar with the story of Caliph Umar radiallahu anh, God be pleased with him? He's the second caliph or the second khalifa in the Muslim community. We would describe, I mean no irreverence or disrespect, I just want to make the point. We would consider Umar, definitely before El-Islam, as a straight up gangster. Hardcore gangster too. People was shaking in their boots. When they saw Umar, they would shake in their boots. Rasulullah, upon him be peace, said that Umar is so tough that if him and Satan are walking on the same side of the street, Satan gonna cross the street and go on the other side. That's how tough Umar was. May God be pleased with him. And when you look at his life, look at his opposition to Islam. Look how fervent his opposition to al-Islam was. We know his story. Some of us know. Again, I'm almost done. Just bear with me. I got to complete this thought. Umar radiallahu an, on the day that he converted to al-Islam, he was on his way to kill Prophet Muhammad, upon him be peace, and got sidetracked because he heard his sister was at home reading the Quran. So, you know, he said, let me go tighten her up first, and then I'll get to the prophet. I'll go deal with her first, then I'll go get to the prophet. So he shows up, and he wants to snatch the Quran, the pieces of the Quran, because it wasn't a complete book, out of her hand. Give me that. What is that you read? She said, hold up, man. Before you even touch this, you go wash your hands. She was pretty tough, too, wasn't it? Go wash your hand, then I'll let you take a look at this. After reading whatever portion of the Quran she was looking at, Allah touched his heart. He had a change of heart instantly, and instead of going to kill the Prophet upon him be peace, he went to go take Shahadatain with the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the history. This is beautiful. Why is it beautiful? Why did I tell you that story? I said those before al-Islam that were decent, excellent, are excellent, decent in al-Islam. Well, you say Umar was a gangster. He wasn't decent. Okay, what I'm pointing out is the same hatred or vigor or whatever you want to say that he had against al-Islam, once he became a Muslim, he was that strong for al-Islam. That's my point. Under al-Islam, the Muslim community grew leaps and bounds under his leadership. None of the other three caliphs, al-Islam grew like it grew under him. That's what I'm telling you. He was special. And I might as well close the deal with this. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that if there was a prophet to come after me, it would be Umar radiallahu an. Boy, that's a high compliment. Boy, that's tough. So certain qualities and characteristics you see in people, things you don't like. Imam Abdul Rahim and I can relate to this. We're dealing with men and women in prison. They're a little crude. They're a little unpolished. They're sometimes a little savage. But if we can just get al-Islam in them, you know, they're willing to die for colors and stupid stuff and all of that. When they get ready to live al-Islam, that same compassion, that same dedication, that same lack of fear. You know, because some of us, you know, we're a little afraid sometimes. Don't say assalamu alaikum too loud to me in certain environments. Assalamu alaikum, brother Imam. Alaikum salam. Might even do this. Not here. And I'm not telling you to get on a microphone and stand in the middle of San Pedro. I ain't telling you to do that. But anyway, praise be to Allah. I hope we got the point, dear family. I thank you for your patience. I don't mean to hold you so long, but I can't leave certain things out there without developing them properly and helping it and help us to understand with Allah's permission and by His grace. So again, family, we thank Allah. We've been blessed. This is a beautiful way of life. And we thank Allah for His guidance, and we thank Him for Muhammad the Prophet. Muhammad the Prophet, the model for all human beings, who is approved by Allah. Praise be to Allah. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammadin kama salaita Ibrahim wa ali Ibrahim wa barik ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammadin kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ali Ibrahim fil alamin innaka Hamidun Majid. Our Lord, exalt Muhammad and the true followers of Muhammad, as thou didst exalt Abraham and the true followers of Abraham, for surely thou art praised and magnified. Our Lord, bless Muhammad and the true followers of Muhammad, as thou didst bless Abraham and the true followers of Abraham, for surely thou art praised and magnified in our midst. Amen. Hakim as-salah.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ashhadu anna Muhammadur Rasulullah. Hayya al-salat, hayya al-falah. Qad qamati salat, qad qamati salat. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.